opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Brock. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bofancy, and...
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. And I have a very special show for you this week. As you know, each week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the Ville, and what a week it is. Certainly, you're not living here if you don't know that last Friday was the passing of Muhammad Ali out in Arizona, and I was able to catch up with a very special guest, John Ramsey, who is one of the champ's close friends and, you know, has a world of things going on this week, but... very happy that he found time to talk to me, and a very emotional interview. A lot of things that you probably don't know about the champ coming up in our first interview, and that's John Ramsey. So stay tuned for that. In the second part of the show, I have Heather O'Mara, and Heather I've known for a long time. She is the director. She's not the director. She's the manager of public relations and marketing for the Louisville Orchestra. That means she keeps up with Teddy Abrams. And he's one of my favorite people in town. He's been on this show, and he's doing a lot of things. And Heather's came on to talk about a production that occurred some years ago, I think 2003, involving a... an artistic production involving Muhammad Ali. So I thought it'd be a good week to have her on, and we talk about all things that are going on with the orchestra and Teddy Abrams. So that is going to be that is also a really interesting interview, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that. I've got a lot of stuff to talk about. First thing I haven't done in a while on this show is to remind you how to get a hold of me in case you want to suggest a guest or bring me a pile of money. Not really. But if you are interested, we are looking for new sponsors of the show. And you can reach me at rick@louisvilleky.com. That's rick@louisvilleky.com. And I just want to remind you all the things that I'm involved in. Louisvilleky.com is my website covering a lot of things going on in the city. And I would encourage you to check that out on a daily basis. There are new posts almost every day over at louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. I also am involved in a new project with my friend and partner Steve Coombs, who are doing a new project called Eat, Drink, Talk. You can find that on the web at eatdrinktalk.net. And we have already had some scoops. I've had some very interesting conversations. I'm going to tell you about one of them a little bit later in the show. And so that's another thing that that I'm doing, and it's very exciting. You know, I'm packing a lot into my days. I'm working harder than I ever did when I had a real job, and that's a really good thing. So I appreciate all of you who are downloading. The numbers on the Rusty Satellite Show are up, and I expect we're going to have a great show this week, especially with all the interest. It's one of the best interviews I think I've ever done with John Ramsey, so urge you to stay tuned for that. One of the people who, one of the groups that makes this show all possible is the Eye Care Institute. My friend Mark Prussian over there at the Eye Care Institute, right there on Story Avenue. The phone number over there is 502-589-1500. You can give them a call in any procedure or any anything from a simple exam like I've gotten over there to if you're curious about LASIK or some other procedure for your eyes. Believe me, they know how to do it, and they do it better than anybody in town over at the Eye Care Institute. I urge you to give those folks a call and thank them for sponsoring the Rusty Satellite Show. So let's get on with our guest. First up is John Ramsey. I'll have a few anecdotes of my own about this interview and Muhammad Ali right after the interview. But I hope that you enjoy this talk that I had with John Ramsey, who was, as he explains in the interview, he made a quick flight out to Phoenix, where Ali was in the hospital. He from New York. John was in New York. for a family obligation, went out there and came back with the champ and his on Friday giving a eulogy, and is one of the pallbearers. So there's no one closer to Muhammad Ali than John Ramsey, and I think it's a very revealing and interesting interview, something you probably haven't heard before about Muhammad Ali. So here's the interview.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And I have found a moment in John Ramsey's busy schedule to talk to him today. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I really appreciate it.
What a whirlwind week this must be for you. For listeners who don't know, you're very close to the Ali family. Tell me a little bit about that relationship.
You know, I've known Muhammad for over 30 years, actually closer to 35, but I'm dating myself. And you know, I've traveled to Australia with him, to England, to Ireland, to Canada, all kinds of places in the United States, cities in the United States. So it's really nothing special about me. It is about Muhammad. This has been a busy week, but I think Muhammad deserves to be the love and respect. We want to make sure that he goes in the correct way, in the manner in which he deserves, with a lot of dignity. So it's a labor of love. Let's put it that way. Yes.
Okay. And certainly you've got a lot of responsibilities. I think I read you were with him in over the weekend or around the time he passed. What was that experience?
Well, Lonnie had told me that he was being admitted into the hospital. Muhammad's wife, Lonnie, had told me. And my son was getting engaged in New York City, and he was surprising his fiance, and he was going to ask her, and we were going to meet in Central Park. Lonnie, you know, was very aware of that, so she didn't want to interrupt my plans. And, you know, periodically, Muhammad will go in the hospital, something will happen, a little hiccup, and Lonnie's just so on top of it that, you know, I thought this was just a typical visit to the hospital and that he'd be okay. And so, anyway, bottom line is this. I was in New York not an hour, actually about an hour and a half, and early in the morning, and then I got a call from Lonnie saying she didn't know I was in New York, and it was like, hey, you might want to come to Phoenix first, and then I'll get you red eye out of here to go to New York to be with her son. And I knew, okay, she doesn't do that because she's very respectful of my family as well, and I thought, oh, this isn't good. So sure enough, I called her, and she said, you might want to make the trip to Phoenix. And so I jumped on a flight from New York to Phoenix within just a couple hours.
Okay. Rather than talk about, you know, the funeral arrangements and all that, let me ask you one more question just about your relationship with the champ. You know, it goes over all these. Why do you think you and he had such a bond?
You know, I hope that Muhammad saw, and I think he did, that all I wanted from him was his time. You know, I really enjoyed being with him. Obviously, I'm a big fan, but it's funny you ask that because we were over at David Blue's house one time. We're trying to get the land for the Ali Center, and Lonnie goes, you know, you come with Muhammad. You know, you'll get him talking. Why don't you come with us? So it was me, Muhammad, and we go over to David Blue, who is Jonathan and Todd's father, as you know, yeah. And he had a lot of land there on the riverfront. I think he still does. And we were talking to him, having dinner, and David asked the same question you asked, is, you know, how did you guys meet? How did you become close friends? And I said, just as I've said to you, I don't think it was anything special about me. It's about this guy. I said, Muhammad. And I think all he saw was that I wanted his time and nothing else, and I just appreciated the friendship. And Muhammad stopped, and he said, no, man. He said, you a cool cat, man. We click. We get along. He said, I like hanging with you, man. And it made me feel like $1 million because he didn't have to say that. But, you know, for him to say that in public, and he's expressed that a number of times to me, and it made me feel good because I do think we click. I think I get him. You know, as you know, Rick, I'm animated like him. I try to treat people nicely as he does, and I've watched him work. So I think we just, for whatever reason, got along, and I feel very, very fortunate.
Well, great. Well, the question about that, I mean, obviously you're a public speaker. You do all these, I don't know how you do all the media you do, but you're making a speech on Friday that's one of the biggest ones of your life, I guess.
Yes.
How are you preparing for that?
You know, when I was, I've been putting this on a back burner forever, Rick, because, you know, Muhammad is really almost, it's pretty accurate to say superhuman. I think when he was diagnosed in the mid-80s, it probably took him 20 years, even with Parkinson's, to be normal, because he was such a physical freak, you know. I mean, so much, you know, more elite as far as athleticism and physicality. So I always thought, it won't happen to the champ. I knew about this. We had planned this, you know, 10 years ago. So I knew this was, but I always said, I never would write it because it was kind of like facing reality. And I said, I kept putting it on the back burner. Well, when I got the call to Phoenix, I had a lot of thoughts in my head. And I knew the kind of direction I was going to. I started writing it. And an airplane, a 5-hour flight from New York to Phoenix is a good place to write and think. Wrote all my thoughts down. You know, it's not going to be easy, you know, but to me, I want to do Muhammad right. I was honored that they asked. He had to sign off on that. He wanted me to speak, so I'm going to try to do him justice. I hope I get through it.
Well, I did want to ask you one question that I've been wondering about a long time about Ali, because he's so eloquent, and he was such a great speaker when he was boxing and before Parkinson's hit. What kind of life do you think he would have led had he not had Parkinson's?
You know, it's a good question, and it's something I think worthy of discussion, because I've asked Muhammad about that. You know, what if you could communicate like you used to and do all this? And Muhammad had a great point. He said, you know, this disease, and he accepted, this is the hand God dealt me. There is a reason for this. And his thoughts were that it made me deeper, made me look at the underdog more, made me look at others who may be in a similar plight, whether it be health-wise or financially or whatever the case may be. It made Muhammad, instead of I'm the greatest, he said, can you imagine, I'm the greatest, I'm this, I'm that. He goes, but it made me think about people, think about love, think about, you know, people who are struggling, and it made me deeper. He goes, I don't need to talk. He told me, he said, I don't need to talk. People see how I act. People lead by example. He goes, so I don't need to say a word.
Well, there you go. I mean, you certainly can't disagree with that. I tend to think that being able to, you know,
he could have done a lot of
things
good.
He could have done.
No, I'm not going to disagree with you. My thoughts on it, can you imagine? And I think Muhammad, with his heart, he says that, but he wouldn't have been that way. He would have used his, you know, all of that charisma and swagger that Muhammad had naturally. He'd have used that to help out others. He did it when he was healthy. So
right.
I'm with you. I'm kind of along the lines of you. I think Muhammad just feels like this is the hand God dealt me, and there's a reason. So he would justify it that way. Personally, yeah, I wish Muhammad would have been 100% the last 10 years, because, wow, the impact a guy like that could have made. Oh,
sure.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, so I think along the lines that you do, Rick.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I never actually met him, but I was in rooms where he walked in, and you know, it was like the champ's here, you know. Everything gets silent, you know.
You got
it's
that
like,
right.
It's like unlike anybody else that I've ever been around. We've all been around famous people and people that are well known, and coming in for this funeral on Friday, you know, tell me, since you're involved in the planning, how does this, you know, who are some of the people and what are those relationships? I know the champ touched a lot of lives. Right?
Yes, I think Muhammad, you know, I'm not unique in that. Even if you've never met Muhammad, you felt like you have a personal connection with him, and that's part of the Ali magic. You mentioned it. You said, you know, when he walked in a room, and that never left him. I mean, even in his most recently, if Muhammad walked in a room, he made people feel better about themselves. He could uplift people, and that was a gift, and maybe his greatest gift. And that stayed with him his entire life. So, I mean, people will be there. I mean, I'm a pallbearer, as you know, with, you know, Will Smith, President Clinton's going to speak. I'm not sure if President Obama will come or not. I know he's trying to move his schedule. You know, you look at you know, everybody from Matt Lauer to, you know, you've got the speakers like Billy Crystal, and, you know, Aretha Franklin now said she's coming. We've got kings and princes from all over the world. This is something that I knew would happen. I knew the impact that Muhammad had on the world, because he did connect with so many people. And whether or not you're the leader of a country, or if you're someone who lives on the street, you felt connected to Muhammad, and he wanted that. He wants all walks of life to be able to attend his funeral.
Well, I think so. I was down at the Yum Center this morning and saw the line that stretched around 3rd Street.
Are you surprised? But you're not surprised.
I wasn't surprised a bit. You know, and it's an amazing outpouring locally. You know, you probably know better than most how he, you know, his impact on local people, and especially like the Ali Center, which is one of the coolest places
anybody
could ever go.
Yeah, I think, you know, Muhammad was very proud to be a Louisvianian, and that was one of the aspects that he had definitely had a hand in. It was his request to be buried here in Louisville. We were flying over from Phoenix with Muhammad, and Lonnie, we were talking about this, and Lonnie said to the Oman, she said, you know, Muhammad could have been buried in Mecca. And he looked at her and goes, I can still make that call. Like, you know, you're right, he could be married in Mecca. But she said, no, this was his request. He wanted to come home. And I take a great deal of pride in that, being a Louisvillian. That was kind of, before I even met Muhammad, when I was a young man and just a big fan and going to college, it was like, man, that was my guy, man. You know, it was like, I just felt connected to him. Louisville boy, and look what he's achieved. And, man, he really inspires me. I felt connected even though I didn't know him. So I take great pride in the fact that this is where Muhammad wanted to be laid to rest. When I took that casket off the plane, I remember putting my hand on it, the Iman, and there were some police officers, and I said, that was kind of my goodbye. I said, champ, you're home. You're home, man. And that was just really, you know, that was good. That I knew that was his wish, because I remember he was real. That was something that he was very strong about, was, you know, this is Louisville's my home, and I'm proud of it, and that's where I want to be buried.
Very good. One last question. There has been talk of naming things, his legacy. You know, obviously, you know, he's all over the place. He's got a street named after him here in town. But tell me if you know anything, or if you have any opinions. I've heard talk of the Walking Bridge, the Big Four being renamed for Ali, and they're talking about changing a statue in Frankfurt. Have you heard any more about those types of things?
To be honest, although that's nice, and I'm not trying to diminish that, and especially that the fact that they're trying to honor Muhammad, I think that's noble, and I appreciate it. However, I don't think that's really – he's not a big materialistic showy guy. We've got Muhammad Ali Boulevard. We have the Muhammad Ali Center. What I'd rather see is some kind of mission or initiative. You know, Rick, and we all can't be big and fast and agile and, you know, maybe the greatest athlete of the 20th century. I happen to think he is, as does Sports Illustrated and Associated Press, but what I do think is we all can be more compassionate. We can all nurture that side of ourselves, trying to look for commonalities rather than differences and resolve conflicts. You know, we've had a rash of violence in Louisville. You know, if we could have an initiative where everybody, hey, on behalf of Muhammad's name, assalamu alaikum, you know, let's put a stop to this and let's all be peaceful for a while and get along. I don't care if you're Jewish, Muslim, Catholic, Christian, whatever you happen to be. Let's come together and look for ways to bond. And that's what Muhammad would want. That would make him smile. I mean, you know how many times I've traveled with him to receive an award, and he'd give whatever money to the center or to his Parkinson Center. He wasn't about money or materialistic things. And the awards, don't get me wrong, nice, and I love to see that he's getting the accolades he deserves. But something like that, you know, to make a true difference like Muhammad did in his life, whether it be the civil rights movement, whether it be the Vietnam War, that would mean more to him.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
What you don't know about John Ramsey, and that is he squeezed an hour in for me on Wednesday in between his obligations as the host of Wave 3 Listens, one of his regular gigs, and his obligation to he was going to see Lonnie Ali and take her to meet the UofL baseball team. The champ was a big fan of the UofL baseball team, it turns out. And John was facilitating that. He's a very busy, very busy guy this week. If you don't know, Ramsey is also, in addition to the Wave 3 performance that he does on a daily basis during the week, that show Wave 3 Listens, at, I think it's at noon. He's also on the radio, does a sports talk show sponsored sort of by UofL, and is a big supporter of everything UofL. So I've known John a long time. He does a lot of EMCs, a lot of charity events, and it's just a great guy. It was moving for me to see him get emotional during our interview in talking about his friendship with the champ. And so that was quite a thing. It was really something. All the things going on this week with Ali, with President Bill Clinton, former President Bill Clinton coming in, Billy Crystal, a who's who of famous people coming into town for all the funeral arrangements that Ali himself had a lot to do with setting up, and you know, he certainly knew what he wanted, and what is happening this week in Louisville are the fulfillment of his wishes upon his death. So that is all good. I tell you, I was driving down at the Yum Center on Wednesday morning when they were handing out the I think 19,000 tickets to the Friday event, and that line was amazing. It was just all sorts of people. They brought their chairs. They were there for the long haul. A lot of them were. The line started up at the Young Center Plaza and went down 3rd Street all the way to River Road, down River Road, and up 3rd, almost in a full block-long circle at the time that I was there, which was like, I don't know, maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, there's no doubt that there's a lot of effect on that. And one thing I talked to John Ramsey about was like Ali's legacy. Of course, he's already got Muhammad Ali Boulevard here, and there's a certainly a poster of him. But I really think the movement that I like the idea of is to change the name of the Big Four Bridge. I think the name that I saw floated was the Muhammad Ali Peace Bridge, which would be a nice and fitting memorial for the champ, and a good way for people to remember what a special impact he had on the lives of others. And if you haven't been, I would always urge people to go there. The top tourist attractions, I think, in this town are the top museums to go see. I put the Ali Center at the top of the list. The exhibits there, the films, the whole thing. It's a spectacular building. I put it up there. Also up there, the Slugger Museum and the Derby Museum are my favorites. And the Fraser, depending on what's in there. There's a lot of great things to do, and that doesn't even start to talk about the bourbon tours, which I've been hearing a lot more about lately. As you know, I've started a new project with Steve Coombs. It's called Eat, Drink, Talk, and we do a podcast every week. You can find the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast on eatdrinktalk.net or the Louisville.am website or iTunes, and we're just having a ball doing that show. I'm learning so much, and in just diving into this industry. And, you know, last week I did a interview with Corky Taylor at Peerless Distillery down there on 10th Street. Learned a whole lot about what's going on down there, and it's just fascinating to me. This is of course Steve knows a lot more about everything related to this than I do, but I'm learning. I'm having a good time. In fact, if you tune into the show that's going to be on the air this week, that'll be online this week, I interviewed a guy named Chad Coulter, who is a fascinating story. He is he was a pharmacist, and he started a business doing, you know, those businesses with where you go and paint a canvas and drink wine. A lot of women like to do that together in groups and stuff. Well, that was the business he started with his wife, and eventually they decided to move into the business of owning a wine bar, which became a restaurant, which became Luvino in the Highlands, which has been very successful. And a little piece of news here, there is a second Luvino location opening up in Middletown in July, and that's just a little bit of news for you. That's the kind of thing that I've been finding out, because I've been closely associating myself with some of the stuff going on in that industry. And in fact, another piece of news for you. You know, I just had such a good time this week. I met for the first time a guy named Andy Bleeton this week. And Andy is, the interview is going to appear next week on the Rusty Satellite Show. But I found out about, Andy operates, is the operator and owner of the Butchertown Market, which houses, if those of you familiar with the Rusty Satellite Show know that it houses the Bourbon Barrel Foods, and it houses Cellar Door Chocolate, and a great retail shop called Work the Metal. And Andy is developing another block about, you know, it's not very far away. Andy told me that he only is interested in developing things he can ride his bike to. So right around the corner across from Plumber's Supply is going to be a project called Butcher Block, and there's already a Vietnamese restaurant readying itself. That thing is going to happen in the very near future, so I urge you to, number one, listen to the Rusty Satellite Show next week to hear my interview with Andy Bleeton, and number two, be aware that there's a lot of new stuff coming to town, and you're going to hear about it here on the Rusty Satellite Show and on Eat, Drink, Talk. It's a lot of fun. I also saw in the news that a place I used to work, at a place called Louisville Mojo, if you could believe it. And we were housed in the Melwood Art Center. Up there, it's a very difficult place for restaurateurs to make a go of it. But I was glad to see my friend Danny Mack of Danny Mack's Pizza is going in there. Hopefully he'll be successful. And it's great pizza as a sort of pizza connoisseur. that's something I really like. I really like to see succeed. And the Melwood Arts Center, there's a lot of stuff that goes on up there as well, a lot of social events, etc. So, wow, just a lot going on. I'm taking a deep breath and getting started. What else did I want to talk about? You know, last week we had Ricky Jones on here and talking about the Confederate statue and the removal of that thing. I haven't heard a thing about where that might land now. I did hear some rumors about the possibility of replacing that that spot in the middle of the U of L campus, replacing that Confederate statue with one of Ali, which would be kind of a cool thing. We'll see if that happens. You know, you talk about statues, you know, of sports figures. There's a great Pee Wee Reese statue in front of the baseball field, and in back of the baseball field, there's a nice Paul Hornung statue, and there's a Johnny Unitas statue over at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Seems like we ought to have a Muhammad Ali statue somewhere in this town, and certainly that would be a great spot for it. So just a suggestion, just nothing official there. So I did want to touch on one negative aspect of this whole thing, and I've heard a lot of comments on Facebook. You know, there's a special place in hell for these people. There's people that have gotten those free tickets for the Friday Memorial Service, and they're online for sale at like $100 a pop. People trying to make money off something like this, you know, I'm never surprised when people try to take advantage and make money on something, but that's especially despicable, I think. And I think there's some people looking into trying to catch them and prosecute them. I'm sure it's a crime of some sort. All right, before we get to our next guest, I do want to mention one other thing that I'm involved in. You know, I do a podcast for the Jeffersontown Chamber out there where I live, and it's a big weekend out there. If you have kids, like, you know, the other thing that's going on at Louisville.am is this 40-ish podcast that Dan Von der Heide and Stephanie White are doing. I did want to mention that they talk about things they, you know, things they can do with their kids or the special situations that occur when you're in your 40s, which I remember not too long ago for me, but they should take their kids out to the J-Town Summerfest on Friday night. It's going to be a really special occasion. It's free. They're giving away 1,700 hot dogs, I kid you not, and chips and Cokes to the kids and the families that come out there. They're going to show the movie Inside Out, and there will be fireworks. And there's all sorts of games and stuff going on. It's a great, great family event out there in J-Town. And I'm mentioning all this because they've got a great pair of events in J-Town this week. The other event is the Summer Craft Beer Fest. And I've spoken on this show in the past with Tish Ganey, and I had Trevor Cravens, who are sort of the organizers of this thing. The J-Town Chamber's behind it. The first year was phenomenally successful out there at the Pavilion in J-Town. I'm going to be out there pouring beer as a volunteer once again on Saturday from 2 to 6. I hope they don't sell out, but if you want to go, I would make a phone call or make sure you get your tickets early. On that J-Town show, I had Jason Schuster from River City Distributing. If you're interested in some like history of beer, it was really an interesting interview. I was glad I got to do that and learn some of that stuff. You know, we're all talking about one of the things I talked to Chad Coulter about. You know, and I'm getting into sort of the eat drink territory, but like there's bourbon, there's beer, there's wine. There, you know, customers and people that want to enjoy adult beverages say they're really refining and looking for something great, high quality and unusual products. So those industries are booming, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for all of us because it's a higher quality and there's a lot more choices out there. All right, so anyway, that's sort of what this show is about. I'm sort of updating you on some things that I know about that you may not, you may, but some things that are going on that I really am interested in. So that's what that's about, and I'm very excited about also my next guest. It's Heather O'Mara, and she is the manager of public relations and marketing for the Louisville Orchestra. And, of course, I ask her a lot about Teddy Abrams. And you, if you know about the event, sort of an impromptu thing, Teddy put on a big show down at the Yum Center outside, you know, the next day after Muhammad Ali passed. And she's got a great story you'll hear in the interview about Teddy and Muhammad Ali and a production that was put on several years ago about the champ. And it's really meaningful, I think, in terms of an illustration of the effect that Ali had on not only the city of Louisville, but on the world. So, anyway, it's all in good fun, and Heather is a long time, I've known her for a long time, and she does a great job over there, and I wanted to introduce you to her. So here it is.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm with Heather O'Mara, who is the Manager of Marketing and Public Relations with the Louisville Orchestra, one of our favorite organizations. Well, Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And a lot of stuff going on this week related to Muhammad Ali, and I thought to bring you in because it seems that Ali touched everyone in this city in one way or another, but you have a sort of special story going back several years about a performance by the not the orchestra, but the
Kentucky Opera.
Kentucky Opera, right. Related to Ali. It sounds like a fascinating project that sort of shows a little bit about Ali himself.
Yes. Well, you know, it was a very innovative program called Visions that developed off of another program, which was more of a national branded kind of a program called Music Words Opera, where we collected, I think we had 13 students from 9 area high schools. Okay. Who got together for the summer, and we gave them the focus of Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. and they wrote a libretto, which is the story of an opera, and they worked with a composer to put it to music.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. So, I mean, it was very intensive, and I don't believe that the Ali Center was open yet, but they okay. were starting because these students actually got to do the majority of their historical research at the Ali Center, looking at his biographies and his artwork and his poems and newspaper articles and all of the photos that they had at the Ali Center. So it was a really great experience for these 13 students.
Okay, and they finished up producing an opera. They wrote music, and you were reading me one of the lines from that I think was worth repeating. I
absolutely.
Guess.
Now you're gonna hear rustling pages because this is a libretto, and it actually has, you know, a line per musical line. So it's a little long for his shortest
libretto. That's a new one in my vocabulary. Does that mean you're gonna sing?
No, I'm not gonna sing.
Oh, okay.
You don't want me to sing. So this is, you know, something the kids wrote since I was 12, and this is Ali speaking.
Ali's voice.
Yes.
Written by kids.
Okay. Since I was 12. I've been waiting, hoping, dreaming to come this far. Looking back on the past, I feel like I've prevailed in raising the bar. Challenges I've fought through by climbing, believing, striving to be someone. In the future, after I'm gone, my name will live on. It will stand for all this work that I've done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, and yes, this is actually in the first scene, so, you know, it kind of sets the bar for the entire
okay.
operetta. The operetta goes through the majority of his life, including the time that he lost his bicycle. Someone stole his bicycle, and he was so angry,
mm-hmm.
which I think is that anger drove him to go into boxing. And through his illness, through his the lighting of the torch when he met Lonnie, so it really does, I mean, in a very short time, encompass his entire
right.
life. And
well, we'd sure love to see something like that now. I know it's not performed, hasn't been performed since then, but still very interesting. And I saw a photo that Ali himself came to this event or came to a performance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was very inspiring for all involved. The Louisville Youth Choir actually participated in the performance, as well as our studio artists. We had kids from Iroquois High School create the sets.
My alma mater.
There you go. University of Louisville staff helped with the direction and the conducting.
Okay.
So we had a lot of people throughout the city already involved in this program, and that he came and he met everyone who created this. It was a real inspiration for everybody, you know. And I had just started with the opera when this program was going on, so you know, to walk into an organization that does something this unique and something that is this really important,
sure.
It really kind of set the stage for the rest of my tenure.
Yeah,
with the opera.
And you're still here, so
yeah,
you
I'm
know,
still
good for you. Now, speaking a little bit about Ali, you know, I know that he is. I've talked to several people, or you read stories about people who retell their memory of meeting him and how it, you know, meeting Ali had an effect on their lives because he's the greatest, you know, and I understand. And you now work with Teddy Abrams, the wonderful high profile conductor of the Louisville Orchestra, and you were telling me that Teddy had such an experience in meeting the champ.
He did have an opportunity to meet Ali. I think it was when he first got here, obviously. And he was really inspired by how genuine and open and really giving of himself that he was. Teddy was so moved by him that, well before the announcement of his passing, Teddy had planned to actually write a piece of music for and about Muhammad Ali, and that is actually going to be performed at the end of our season.
Wow.
Yeah, so that'll be actually next year in April, the end of April, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, certainly, you know, all around town people are talking about, you know, what they're going to name after him and different things. And so certainly Ali's legacy will certainly live on here without a doubt. Now, I wanted to ask you about something I didn't get a chance to go to. I wish I had. That there was sort of a almost impromptu performance that Teddy put on the day after Ali's death.
You know, right? And Teddy's really known for this sort of thing, just kind of packing up his keyboard and playing wherever he can. But he and Ja'Cory Arthur, they have this gypsy band, it seems. You know, they also got Carly Johnson there, who is a great jazz singer. And they were down, you know, singing, dancing, playing the drums, and just trying to bring the energy that, you know, that Muhammad Ali deserved, you know. And, I mean, it was, I think, very well received.
Okay. did you get a chance to go?
I didn't get a chance to go, but I was kind of social media-ing it. That's part of my job. So, yeah, and it was hard to keep up with, I got to say.
Yeah. Well, let's talk for a second about the phenomenon of Teddy. You know, he's been on this show. I've seen him perform several times. And your job in keeping up with him must be very interesting.
It is a challenge, and the thing is, it's not really about keeping. Well, I guess it is keeping up with him because you know he does so much on his own, and it's inspiring. You know, mm-hmm. he really walks the walk and talks the talk when he says that he wants to bring music to every single person in the city of Louisville, and he will come to your house and play if that's what it takes. You know, he's that dedicated, and he's so passionate about the power of music that he can't not play,
right.
You know, and his passion is definitely it's catching.
Yeah,
people have caught the Teddy Abrams fever. And,
I think
you know,
there
it's
is
been
a fever
great
like that going on. Every time I bring it up at home with my girlfriend Paula, she says, "Oh, Teddy, can we go see him?" You know, it's like, oh, okay. So it's
well, you should come down at the end of our next season, or if not before, and come hear the Muhammad Ali portrait.
We certainly will be looking forward to that. I'm sure that will be very well publicized and something to look forward to. I know that when I talked to him at his house,
yes,
right there on Market Street, he talked to, you know, I guess that he still does those little performances
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You can watch him through the window. And
yep. He turns on the speakers outside of his house on Market Street. It's on, right on the trolley hop. So, you know, if you're on the Market Street trolley hop, you can hear Teddy playing sometimes, you know. And he picked the place down where there aren't a lot of neighbors so that he could play in the middle
right.
of the night. You know, so it might be 2 o'clock in the morning and you might be walking by and hearing him.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, you know, some of those folks in the Highlands that who like to call and say, that damn music, that damn Abrams is talking again, is playing again on, the, you know, Market Street.
Well, no, you know, no. The Zephyr Gallery and Jolie Antiques, they don't mind.
I don't guess so.
I don't think they do anyway.
Well, that's interesting. Now, I understood, and now tell me if I'm wrong, I'm just guessing off the top of my head, but I think I saw a release or something about the 4th of July. Teddy got a big deal going on there?
Well, we are actually performing, doing the 4th of July on the waterfront again this year. That's going to be on the 3rd.
Okay.
For the 4th celebration. Yeah, and this year we did something different where we did a Sing for the City contest, and
okay.
This is another, you know, trying to keep up with Teddy. He's like, hey, let's do a singing contest. So
this is like The Voice all over again, right?
It is, yes. He
really?
Wants this to replace So You Think You've Got Talent or something. Yeah, it's
wow.
And it we actually had a for the first time out and a month to actually get the word out. We had a significant amount of people respond. There were, I want to say, 89 different
wow.
pieces submitted by 68 different artists, and we
so they do their own. I guess
it had to be original music. That was one of the things,
okay.
And we were really only looking for soloists, and they could or may or may not play an instrument with them, but most of them did.
Wow.
And it was really very a great experience. And we picked actually two local people. Carly Johnson, the jazz singer, who's doing a song called The Believer. Really
so
great.
So these people, they were in this contest, and now they get to perform on the 4th of July thing?
We are actually orchestrating their music. So we are putting their music
wow.
into a full orchestra form by a professional orchestrator. His name is Brad Ritchie. He does orchestrations for a lot of people.
Wow.
Anyone who knows, they know Brad Ritchie. So the quality of the orchestration is going to be exceptional, and it gives these local musicians, they get to hear their music like they never could
yeah,
imagine.
Yeah, you can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so Carly Johnson and Justin Lewis is the other winner.
Okay.
Yeah,
Justin
yeah.
Lewis. Oh, those are big names, good names. That is something we'll certainly look forward to. Since you, Heather, are the queen of social media for the orchestra and all that, I'm going to let you tell people how to find you on
Well,
on
the
Twitter,
easiest
Facebook,
way
all
to
that
find
stuff.
Us with all of that is to go to our newly branded website at louisvilleorchestra.org.
Okay.
And there you can find links to our Facebook page, which is Your Louisville Orchestra, or our Twitter page, which is Lou Ork, or our Instagram page, which is Louisville Orchestra.
Yeah, we got them all. And you can, anybody that wants to can request that Teddy come over to their house and play, right?
They can request whether or not he can come or not. You know, really, if you're not hearing Teddy in person, then you're not paying attention.
And we're nearing the end of another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I think I fulfilled my obligations to you this week with a great interview of John Ramsey and Heather O'Mara. I hope you will tell your friends who may have not discovered podcast yet that this is a great local podcast about a lot of great local things, and we have a whole family of podcasts here at the Louisville.am network with Eat, Drink, Talk, the J-Town Chamber, and the new one, 40-ish, with Dan and Stephanie. So it's all going very well. Would encourage you to get a hold of me if you'd like to just ask about podcasts or anything, it's rick@louisvilleky.com. I want to thank my sponsors of this show, which would be Passport Health Plan and the Eye Care Institute. I really appreciate them supporting this and making this a real thing that happens. I thank you for making my download numbers look so good. I really appreciate that, and I encourage you to listen to all the great podcasts here on the Louisville.am network. Until next week, when I'll be back with another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, this is your host, Rick Redding.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.